Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Just having a conversation in the newsroom. Ideas matter, and they matter so much, we're going to have a segment on it right now. We are happy to continue our regular feature, Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities for this calendar year 2015. We learn about humanities in schools and teacher development resources today by talking about the National Endowment for the Humanities Summer Programs and the Humanities for School and College Educators, and more specifically about NEH's program at Fort Ticonderoga. Fort Ticonderoga will be hosting NEH Landmarks of American History and Culture workshops for school teachers in July. And we are joined by our dear friend Plune Boresius, who is Director of Grants and Programs at Mass Humanities. And Richard Strum joins us as well. He is Fort Ticonderoga's Director of Education. Richard and Plune, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you with us. So, Plune, let us begin with you about this program and the overall summer programs and why they're so important.
Joe, as today more than ever, I would say, is that we know that humanities education is the best medicine against prejudice. Learning about ideas, people, and places that are different from our own, learning to think critically and getting tools to find good information are really key to giving people the tools to live a good life and to have a good civic society. And one way in which the National Endowment for the Humanities and Mass Humanities and all the other councils largely try to make that happen is by teaching the teachers, by giving the teachers really good tools to work with their students and giving them a good experience in learning history or literature or any of the other humanities disciplines. And in order to teach the teachers, summer institutes are really a great way to immerse teachers into not only a topic, but in a place, in primary sources, so that they become nimble-minded when they work with their students and that they really have an enthusiasm for the topic and for what they're doing. So NEH funds summer workshops that range from a couple of days to a couple of weeks, and what's really wonderful is that they come with stipends for the teachers. You may or may not know that teachers are very often paid on the principle that they don't work during the summer, so therefore they don't need to get paid. So for teachers, it's really important that they find some kind of employed activity during the summer, and this is one way for them to do it. So often these workshops bring teachers to a place, an archive or a museum, where they work with scholars, leading scholars, and primary materials. Some are in the area, some are in the United States, but some are also abroad, like in Rome or Mexico or Turkey. So, and I noticed that there's a huge list this coming summer, a huge list of these in the Northeast. For instance, there's going to be one in New York City that's called Immigration, Migration, and the Transformation of the African American Community in the 20th and 21st Centuries. There's going to be at UMass Amherst one, Native Americans of New England, an historical overview. There is going to be this wonderful one at Fort Ticonderoga. There's going to be one in the Adirondacks that's called Forever Wild, the Adirondacks in the Gilded Age and the Progressive Era. So there's a huge range of topics, which is why I wanted to bring this to you.
So I do want to bring Richard into the conversation. And Richard, I promise I will ask you a question in just a second before I do that. Plune, so and the teachers from all over can come to this. So looking at this particular one that we're highlighting today at Fort Ticonderoga, teachers from Massachusetts and this region or across the country can come to that event.
That's right, and they have to. There's an application process, and the applications are due, I think, March 2nd. Which is why I'm here now. and then they get chosen, and they come from all over the place. And Richard knows a lot about who's coming and how that affects those teachers.
So we bring in Richard Strum. He is Fort Ticonderoga's Director of Education. Richard, welcome to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. Give us a sense of in your as director of education, of how important, as Plun just mentioned, it is to teach the teachers to get the word out about your site, about this region, and let them take it from there.
Well, I think thank you, Joe, for having me. I think the big thing for teachers is there's not a lot of time for them to delve deeply into content. We're spending a whole week here on the American Revolution on the northern frontier, and it's really just the first 3 years of the American Revolution from 1775 to 1777. And in a lot of high school history textbooks, the American Revolution is a couple pages, and programs like this give teachers an opportunity to delve deeper into the content. They get a chance to visit an actual location where things happened. And no matter how much you've read about something, looked at maps, you really sometimes don't get the importance of geography until you're actually on the ground at the location. I like to focus on teachers. There's only so many students I can reach here at Fort Ticonderoga. But through teachers, teaching them how to teach about the American Revolution, my impact can be that much greater. We figured that of the 80 teachers that were here at Fort Ticonderoga last summer, over the next 10 years, they'll impact over 160,000 students.
Wow.
And so it's just a great way, a ripple effect to get the word out and get the information out.
How do you measure that impact?
We calculated, we asked each teacher how many students they come in contact with each year, and an elementary teacher may only come in contact with 25 students a year, but a high school teacher might have 200 or more students per year. And so we kind of used an average of if each teacher that comes here impacts 75 teachers a year, that's how we got that big number.
Which is a wonderful number. I mean, that's terrific. And give us an idea of what you know about this so far, and I assume you've done this in the past, right? So,
this will be the third year we've hosted a NEH workshop.
So what do you think the teachers get out of it, and what do you get out of it?
I think the teachers get out of it, they get to really immerse themselves, and they get to immerse themselves with like-minded teachers. You have to be a motivated teacher to go through the application process. So the teachers who get selected really want to be here, and so they're very motivated learners, and they get to interact with other teachers from around the country who have those similar interests. And they also get to share ideas of how they involve their students in history, not just the American Revolution, but it's basically, here's what I like to do. Oh, that's a great idea. Can I borrow that? And so it's a really good, not just the content, but sharing of pedagogy and ways to approach history with students. I think the big thing I get out of it is I go away each summer with a great reassurance in the teaching profession. And I have teachers, I say, wow, I wish I had that teacher when I was in school. They're really great, motivated teachers, and it's very, very worthwhile and rewarding to work with them.
Plun, when you talk about the application process, so what goes in that for teachers? As you mentioned, I mean, is it a matter of first come, first served, or is it specific of how this will fit into their teaching? What is taken into account?
Well, I tell you, Joe, I think that Rich knows more about that than I do.
Okay.
Because I'm not from NEH myself.
All right. Rich, you're the keeper of the keys. So who do you let in and who don't you let in?
Well, the application process includes an essay, and the essay to me is the most important part. We had over 200 applications for 80 slots last summer, and the one thing I'm really looking for is how is this experience going to impact the students' lives of those teachers, and who's really... As I read the essays, I'd like to say, oh, this is somebody I'd like my kid to be in their classroom because it sounds like a great learning environment. We also look at geographic diversity. I try to find a good mix of elementary, middle, and high school teachers in the groups. Also, a mix of public and private schools. The majority are public schools because the majority of the applications are from public school teachers, but I like to try to have a good mix, and also a good mix of teachers in their early career, mid-career, and late career, because I think late career teachers have a lot to share with other teachers who are early in their career, and I just think I don't want everybody to be a seventh grade social studies teacher who's had 10 years experience. I want a nice broad representation.
So ultimately, the venue gets to make the decision.
We have a selection committee made up of three people, and I am one of them. The other two are teachers from this region who have participated in NEH programs, so they understand the background and the process. And it's always amazes to me. We look at the applications individually before we get together, and usually we're all pretty much on the same page when we get together and make the final selections.
Paloon, what is your, for teachers that you have worked with in the Bay State and really throughout the humanities, of what they get out of this experience and the importance of these summer programs?
I think one of the things that is that, you know, you just before you asked me a question I didn't know the answer to, I wasn't quite prepared with that. And it's the same with a teacher. A teacher needs to know more than the students, but more than anything, I feel a teacher needs to be immersed in the ideas, immersed in the concepts. And what's really important is that teachers be intellectuals, that they be scholars, that they be people who have their own tools for dealing with ideas, who have their own ways of thinking, and who can share that with their students. In many ways, the humanities are very difficult to teach top down. It's very difficult to be a really good history teacher by standing in front of a class and just spouting wisdom, because in the end, you want your students to become historians, perhaps not at your own level, but you want them to become historians and to get that little fire in the belly for learning more and knowing more and finding out more, because that's where a real humanities education happens. So at each step of the way, the teachers really need to be historians, or they need to be literary critics, or they need to be philosophers in a way to be able to teach that topic or that subject well, that discipline. And one of the things that summer education gives them is that it helps them not only become that, but also remain that, because if you don't keep doing it, you lose it. So that's one thing. And then I quickly have one other thing that I think is really important, and that is that these are hands-on workshops.
Yeah.
As Richard says, it's really, really important sometimes to be in the place where something happened. One of the ones that's happening in Massachusetts this summer is the News Media and the Making of America, 1730 to 1865. And that one's taking place at the American Antiquarian Society in Worcester. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the American Antiquarian Society, but it is the archive, it is the place that collects all printed material in the United States until 1876. It's Mecca for people who read about media and who work on media. So the teachers are really coming to the primary place in the country where this material is collected. They work with the curators, they work with leading scholars, so they really get an immersive experience. And I think those are the two things that are really important.
You know, Rich, it's interesting to me because you know, when I was a kid and I was going to school, we went on a lot of field trips, and money for those has dried up. So in the old days, we would come to Fort Ticonderoga. So now this seems to be the reverse of, okay, well, we'll send the teachers. I assume you see some school groups, but less than you used to?
We do see school groups, and actually our numbers have been going up a little bit.
Well, that's great.
Over the last couple of years, which is bucking the trend, and I don't want to jinx it, but we hope that continues.
Absolutely.
But one thing with the NEH, most of the teachers we work with are not from the region, and they will never bring their students here
sure.
to Fort Ticonderoga. So it's a chance for them to bring that Fort Ticonderoga experience to their students. And one of the ways we do that, each day we identify a document of the day, an artifact of the day from our collection that we work with that ties in with our daily theme, and then we provide ways to work we work with the teachers with those, but then we provide ways for them to work with students using the same document and the same artifact. And what's really great is the teachers can say, I had to do this when I was at Fort Ticonderoga. It's not like they're just saying, here's an activity. It's an activity they've already done themselves and that they're excited about when they do it with their students.
Well, Fort Ticonderoga will be hosting the National Endowment for the Humanities Landmarks of American History and Culture workshops for school teachers in July of this year, July 2015. To find out more information about this program and the NEH's other education for educator programs, you can go to fortticonderoga.org/learn/NEH, fortticonderoga.org/learn/NEH, and NEH.gov. And they, if you go to NEH.gov, it's NEH.gov/divisions/education/summer-programs. But easier than all of that, links to both can be found, of course, on our website, WAMC.org/roundtable. Richard and Plune, thank you so much for being with us this morning and sharing. We wish you the best of luck in these summer programs and all the great work you're doing. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Always nice to have you. Thank you so much.